Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. And I'm Glenn Brooks. Glad to be with you. I want to explore with you vibrant practices today, vibrant practices that are, in fact, beyond the formula. Because a lot of our practices we've learned are solo practices. I want to explore with you relational practice. So the first practice I wanted to share with you before I introduce you to the Vibrant Living team is every 2 seconds we change our brain and we change our respiration. So I want you to practice smiling inwardly. Okay, so I want you to smile. And exhale. And when you do it again, I want you to pick someone you're close to and smile and inhale for them. So you sense them, you sense their presence, and you smile and exhale for them, which is the beginning of relational imagery. So relational imagery has to do with using imagery to deepen your relationship and deepen your relationship from relational imagery rather than old scripts. So we can only exist in just two states at any given moment, just two states. We could be our counterfeit self or our relational self, our authentic self. So I want to welcome everybody, and I'm very inspired because we've got Jesse McGuire with us. She's our in-house vibrant writer. So I want to introduce yourself first today because we haven't heard your voice in a while, Jesse. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Thanks.
We'll go to Jen. You'll hear more of Jesse. We'll get her to come out more. She's just in the kitchen. We'll get her out to come out in the living room as the show goes on. Jen. Jen Rowe.
Yes.
Red Hat Qigong.
Red Hat Qigong.
Oh my God. I'm in the confidence lane with saying that now.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, Thank you. You're the person that walks in the stadium that makes all the difference. I spent my lifetime noticing the difference that makes a difference. I couldn't quite put it into words, but now I know that there are certain people that when we feel deeply gotten, they reinforce it. You're one of them. Say something about your work.
Well, Red Hat Qigong is basically the process of peeling back layers that we hold on to in our energetic system to access the beauty and light that we have inside. You know, as humans, we all carry traumas, we all carry grief. Sometimes we just feel super bogged down. It can come up in forms of depression or anxiety or just feeling really stuck. But it's like we all carry the stuff that needs to shift out. And Qigong is the pushing and pulling of qi through the energetic system to release what is not serving you or what you're holding back and filling you with qi that does serve you and that will help you to move forward. It is a process of release, but one which is, you know, very worth it as to find your inner light and to awaken your soul is one of the most, you know, is one of the ultimate transformations we can make and healing we can do for ourselves. And it's really a beautiful process. But thanks for having me. I'm so glad
to be
here.
You're deeply welcome. You're deeply welcome. Sherry. Sherry is the dog mystic, and I just saw the most beautiful logo that Sherry sent me. That we'll have to. Hopefully, we could be able to share this so everybody can see it. It could be up someplace. I know you haven't released it yet, but it was so. It so felt like you, the logo. It so felt like you're seeing and your warmth and your. And I, by the way, I love how you see into different aspects of my life and reflect those and inquire about those. I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So.
I'm a good listener.
Here we are with. We're gonna share with the listeners today your seminar. We're gonna bring out this seminar that represents the four attributes of being in deep tune with your dog. Upcoming, being in deep tune with your dog, and you are in the lineage of Ben. Ben's passed away, but I guess on some other level, Ben the Rottweiler kind of connected us. I think maybe that happened, or as we call him, the crazy or the mystic psychiatrist, Wayne London. Who studied the healing impact of Rottweilers, dealing with life and death issues. They transform the energy grid. The energy grid, just like in Asian medicine, when we have a fluid, when we have a moving grid and we don't get stuck in the grid, if you can imagine circles interacting or the infinity, the invisible illnesses, things like Lou Gehrig's disease and Parkinson's, they represent stagnation, extreme stagnation. When I hung out with Dr. Wayne London and produced his work, he said to me one thing that sort of transformed my life, and I was going to share it with you guys because it was very subtle and very simple. And what's true about myself is true about you. It's something very subtle and simple. There's an attribute or a quality you have in you that maybe your parents forgot to remind you of, and your friends and your teachers and your therapist. But there's something in you that once you're in harmony with it, it will draw people to you and allow you to be gotten at a different level. And that's really when you become more vibrant. You become vibrant when you feel this deep, uninterrupted connection with life and wisdom and wonder. And that begins to transform your brain. You know, they talk about brain plasticity. So the brain is transformed by consciousness. So when you become conscious. So I developed a course all about that. And since Janet's not here, Janet Carafa. So this is a course for people who want to speak at Carnegie Hall. And the course is all based on, I would call it relational brain plasticity. The idea is when we come together and we have a co-mission and we practice owning the stage and we practice owning that voice, not the counterfeit voice. We were taught, you know, we're taught to use a counterfeit voice and please people. And really this other voice and body is the voice of that thunder that's in you that once it's expressed becomes more alive and transforms you and those around you. Which is why the next significant thing is really about being an exemplifier. So the way we transform ourselves at the quickest level is to pick someone in the room, in this case, the Vibrant Living Challenge, as it applies to speaking at Carnegie Hall, and for the next 8 months, commit to them transforming their whole lives through their talk at Carnegie Hall. So the principle of being an exemplifier is the thing that actually turns us on and flips our genes on in a different way. So I know we always think we got to think about ourselves first, but a lot of times we focus on someone else that represents an aspect of transmuting alchemy. And this is particularly true when it comes to the awakened voice. Once your voice begins to awaken, your cells and your organs begin to move differently and you begin to breathe differently. This is beautifully demonstrated we call it the Vibrant Living Team effect. And so I want to invite you guys who are, you know, it speaks to you to speak at Carnegie Hall. So Carnegie Hall is symbolic to me for a place of great significance where we could communicate from our musical, wondrous voice and speak to others in a way that awakens their listening. As an example, I was very close with a dentist, and he lost his he became very, very depressed. And finally, his brother convinced him to go to a symphony. And during the symphony, his depression left. There's a frequency in our voices that speaks and resonates with others that once we discover it, it becomes part of us and can reach others in a way and touch others in a way unknown to them often. So with that, I want to say, I don't know what Janet is saying. I want to acknowledge that our usual general in the house, Dr. Gail Randall, is on a medical mission. She's not with us today. We send her our love. Look forward to her return next week, Dr. Gail Randall. In the end of the show, I'm gonna call upon Jesse because we're gonna be working in the same way with you guys who resonate with a book, not a book from the outside, not a generic book, but a book that represents your deepest, vibrant message, a message that you've always wanted to communicate, and you want to work with a team that I trust and honor to help you publish and discover a way of communicating that message, or as I like to say, invoking your message and summoning it. So practices, relational practices. So practices, and I'm going to start with dogs today, because I'll tell you something really funny. I see more people doing relational practices with their dogs than most people in relationship to other human beings. I see more people breathing around their dogs, summoning the dog's name. Now, when you call someone's name, you got to realize that's an active blessing. So the people that we're close to, we want to actually regularly, in consciousness or in spoken word, we want to summon them every time we speak, call their name. So in the indigenous tribes, the village would get together and summon the name. And anytime that person had any disappointment, disheartenment, disconnection, they would say that name. They would say that name. And that's why in our spoken word, in our presence, we have the ability on many levels to resurrect someone. So when you call someone's name, it's actually a divine honor. So the whole thing with dogs is dogs somehow allow us this wonder of being able to be ourselves and communicate in a way that's uncommon in our regular linear bound relationships with other human beings, unless you're exceptional. So dogs are in this realm. And, you know, the dog mystic Sherry Marquez is someone who we came together with the mission of bringing this message to more people. In terms of their, I just don't like the word training, their education and the wonder and attributes you bring out of the dog. And Sherry has brought us, as an example, some wonderful messages concerning when to get a dog from a breeder or adopt a dog. There's certain things that when you understand that everything exists on a rhythm, and how you tap into that rhythm is almost everything. That's why, and I know this is going to come as a surprise to you. It's probably the opposite of what everyone said to you, that we function the highest. You don't got to do this right away. There's no doing this to it. But actually, most people function much better and have much more loving lives when they're at 80%, not 100%. And that's why that so many people are overwhelmed and overdoing, because their adrenaline gets addicted to that. Imagine if you could release the adrenaline and cortisol to be in rhythmic pulsation with life. Right? And that's a gradual practice, but a very worthy one, a very, very worthy one. So dogs, you know, and horses, I think, actually do this. I don't know much about cats. I guess they do too. Okay, cats, I'm acknowledging you guys. I just don't know much about you guys. Have this ability to bring us back to rhythm. So when we're in rhythm, the original pulsating rhythm is where your vital force lives. It's not a question you got to attack an illness or get rid of an illness. You need to allow that original pulsating resonation. So when you're on our Vibrant Living Challenge, the idea is you first of all summon everybody by their name. Now the question is, what is their name? I'm going to call on you guys. So, Jesse, what's your name? You have Jesse. So when people say Jesse, I'm putting you on the spot. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
You're such a sweetheart, Jesse.
When
people say Jesse, do you feel like calls you? Do you feel, that's a funny question, isn't it? Do you feel like when people say Jesse, you feel at home? You feel like that's the name, that's your name. Does that make sense? Like you really feel like, oh, my God, I'm Jesse, and they're summoning my name. Is that... Do you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got quite a long name, but if people call me Jess, it's slightly mm-hmm. weird for me. Mm-hmm. I don't really mind it, but it's not quite like Jesse. So.
What's your name? What's your full name?
It's Jesse, and then Una Sophia Maguire.
Wow. Jesse Una Sophia Maguire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Una is a bit strange living in Spain. They're like, Jesse, yeah. Una. But yeah, it's actually Irish. So.
Ah, that's very beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
So your name, so that's the name that you feel the most resonant with.
Yes, absolutely.
So
do you like
I always, yeah, I do. You know, it's funny. People love to say my name. They say Glenn Brooks, and they feel the ocean, they feel the water energy. And I somehow I like that they, it resonates with them. You know what I mean? I like that. I appreciate they could feel rhythm. I have another name that some people call me. I'm going to let it. Some people call me Trust Alchemy. That's my other name for some people.
They call you
Trust.
Trust
Alchemy. Mm. Trust Alchemy.
Trust Alchemy. T-R-U-S-T.
Trust Alchemy. What's that?
Trust Alchemy.
Yes, Trust Alchemy. And some people call me Captain Aliveness as well, which is another fun name. So this is a big deal. The other thing for some people, I recommend a name changing ceremony, or when they do like the Vibrant Living Challenge, I recommend they have another name that really, and for couples, it's essential they have the same last name. It is a whole different universe when you guys have the same. You're summoning that new energy together. And so marriage is an ongoing energy art that every time you say your name together, you become a different quality of family, not just in terms of this deep union. So, for instance, in the Kabbalah, when a couple is having a challenge, you bury your marital rings and you say your name together. You say your name. And in saying your name together three times, you summon. This is a big deal in life, summoning things. See, in the linear world, and being addicted to the linear world, we don't realize language and summoning has, we don't recognize it. We don't live from this. We don't realize that when we say someone's name, we're summoning them. And we bury our rings when we're having a challenge in our marriage, let's say. And then a holy person, someone you deem to be holy, says and blesses you guys, you basically summon the relational energy again. So there's an alternative to divorce. It's called summoning the relationship. And when we start to operate around each other as summoners, we start to experience something very different, not in intellect, but the truth is when we summon, right? So in the Vibrant Living Challenge, it's all about summoning each other, exemplifying each other, and invoking each other. So usually the common linear way we greet people is, okay, you're Mary, you work this job, and you're Frank, and you do this job. That's the dead world. That's like linear information. Linear information is great for maybe finding your car keys or having a map, but it's not the world where you actually awaken your imagination together and live from this other place. That's pretty much what's lost in the day for a lot of people. Now, the practices that begin to cultivate this awareness, I'll give you a few simple ones, which are built into the Vibrant Living Challenge. So the Vibrant Living Challenge, and I'm gonna turn to Jen, our Red Hot Qigong lady today. So the practices that we practice in the Vibrant Living Challenge. So the Vibrant Living Challenge is a three-month challenge, where we practice the practices together. Without practices, we don't live from the depth of our bones, the soul, and our heart together. We need practices. Now,
right.
Conversation is relevant, but practices are essential. And that's so what I've noticed with practices, and I've been in courses now. The first course that I did with Jon Kabat-Zinn, which a lot of you guys know because he put mindfulness on the map. So the first program I did, the thing that was common among everybody who did it, I did among the first courses, was that no one felt they had time. So the lie of time is something you need to walk away from. The lie of linear time is the thing that entraps us to be addicted to linear thinking, because linear thinking and linear time live together. And when we graduate from that, so when I did John's course, one of the big things that was really cool, sorry about that buzz sound. One of the big things that happened in that course was people began to experience, like as an example, people came from around the world, where they were in such pain they could barely function. This one mailman came, and he had chronic ringing in his ears. And we all promised each other, which is beautiful, that we would do the body scan. The body scan is about 30 minutes. And so 4 weeks later, it didn't take much linear time. 4 weeks later, most people would have said, oh, my God, I didn't realize that I was shackled by time. Your interpretation of time is the single most relevant factor of your vital life, your life of being able to experience true vibrancy. And yet it's almost the toughest thing, because just like most people are addicted to eyeglasses, they're addicted to time and linear thinking and don't even notice it. So the beginning of a relational practice is in a group, we start to realize, oh, we're in this. But by conscious practice, we can come out of it. So that was one of the gifts that I did that course when my daughter was born. So that was probably 1990. Very powerful. And so in the Vibrant Living Challenge, we give you practices. And so since Jen, you, so people come to you, going on a limb here, to develop both the awareness and the recognition. Yeah. What did you just say? You just say I exemplify that.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I said this once to Dr. Randall, and she goes, "I exemplify that." I thought you were going to say that. I was waiting for you to say that.
No.
So what's really, I guess what's really fundamental is that when people see you, they begin to walk, if you will, they're distinguishing between the domain, right? So we live in different mm-hmm. domains. The domain of normal for a lot of people is they have time, they've been diagnosed with an illness. You know, when I had that conversation with Allie, who I'm not, you couldn't torture me to get her last name out of me. It's just Allie, an anonymous woman who was Jen's client. One of the guys, when I spoke to her about your work, what was in that conversation was so wondrous was, without her saying it to me, she went from one domain and began to live out of another domain. And what I mean is she went from a domain where she really had a significant, what she would call trauma, around her brain. And then she was beginning to experience this other domain where she began, her brain became alive again for her. And it was so beautiful. I was sitting, she'd call me on a Sunday night. And I only talked about this last week, but more than talk about it, hearing her share the story for me, it really impacted my brain and being the night she told it to me, or she shared it with me, because see, every time we share with each other from the perspective of being able to distinguish one domain and now we're living in another domain, it's sort of like a profound gift. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Deepak Chopra used to say to me all the time, that we grow old and die because we see other people grow old and die. Does that make sense? So grow old and die so the other people understand. When I was talking to her, she was basically conveying to me that on a deep level, the neurologist had said to her, you know, this pretty dark thing. He said that pretty much the only way you could deal with this condition is a lot of medications. So just actually listening to that had really shifted me. And I realized my whole life has been about having vibrant conversations that allow people to have enough scientific context and a sense of wonder to make practical changes. So when I got really interested in your work, I realized, well, you kind of, you know, you started to sit with people. Like, oh, one of her conversations was that when you finished working with her, you would kind of help her, what she called, referred to as her chi body, or you would seal her body with chi, this life energizing pulsation. And I was like, wow, that's just so wondrous, because it's so rare as human beings. First of all, we have the conversation, and then we actually send it to each other, and we're conscious that it makes a profound difference. I want to leave the doorway open for you totally in this. I'm just, what would you say about practices, or what you want to pass on to people about, we talked like the other day, we talked about the subtlety of profound healing together.
Right. When I think about the subtlety of healing, like it is, there's really so much there, because healing is all about the subtleties and the gentleness of the process, you know? It's like, you know, with Allie or with any other client that I've ever seen, you know, it's about developing that trust and that connection as a healer, you know? And it's like, I feel like there's so much in the Western school of thought of medicine that, you know, let's take a pill and let's make it feel better. That's all about this instant gratification, when really like true soul level healing is really more about like delayed gratification, in the sense that, you know, it's a process. And when you are working with someone and you're establishing that trust and connection, you know, it's not this like uniform way of doing things. It's, you know, especially with like Red Hat Qigong, when I think of it, it's one of the most intimate forms of healing there is, because it is soul to soul, and it really is an art form, you know. And every session you have is different, because every client that walks in is different. And it's really about, you know, honoring that And, you know, when you're in a session with someone, you're in close proximity, you're moving emotions and traumas and all types of delicate layers. And, you know, it's you're channeling chi through them, which is, you know, something that is not what we're normally used to feeling or experiencing. But with those subtleties, you know, it's like if you push too much or you say something that might trigger that mind, then mm-hmm. you're going to run into resistance, you know. And so it's about paying attention to how your client is responding or the body language you use. And, you know, one of the things I like to use as a relational practice is eye contact, you know. Eye contact, and that can be in session with a client to establish that trust. That can be in a relationship to, you know, establish that form of intimacy. And it's a really important piece when you're doing that soul to soul, because there's really no hiding there when you're eye to eye, if you know what I mean. And sorry,
you want to share
I know
your story?
I'm going, yeah, I was going to share my story.
Right, actually, I want to do one thing, Jen. I want to do one thing because
okay.
we do everything. So here, I'm going to make it simple. We come out of our thought viruses to a life of vital rhythmic pulsations. I want to acknowledge Lisa LaRose, because I didn't get it to her in the opening round. Lisa, I love and deeply appreciate you. And thanks for always being there many times in the cracks of life and showing up. Thank you deeply. Thank you. And also, I know that you get Sherry's work so deeply. I appreciate that about you as well. Dog Mystic.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jen. I had to acknowledge Lisa. I felt that I missed her there, and I was feeling a pulsation. Recognize Lisa LaRose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it was just funny. You know, yesterday I had a client come in to see me, and I have been working with this gentleman for a while. So we were, you know, catching up prior to the session, and I was telling him this story, and he looks at me and he said, "Well, stop for a minute. I really want to look into your eyes while you're telling me this." And it totally threw me off guard. My mind was like, what? And as he stood up, you know, like I had to sit there and get really close to him to look at his eyes, you know. And because of the fact that it was brought on like so abruptly, I just felt like my mind had all this resistance. I was like breathing, and I had to like ground down, and I had to really work on like calming myself. But it's really interesting, because when you're in an intimate moment or you're like in a session, that kind of happens naturally. Yeah. But when something sometimes is thrown, you know, and that's the subtlety of it, but when something's kind of thrown at you and you're like, whoa, and the mind goes and you're like, wow, he's standing really close to me. Wow, we are really looking into each other's eyes.
I love it.
And all this resistance comes up, you know, so it's kind of, I mean, that can tie back into the subtlety of things, you know.
Yeah. Like,
and so I just found it really interesting how I reacted, you know. I persevered, but.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah.
It's so real.
Definitely caught off guard, yeah.
It's so real.
Close.
Exactly.
Like, whoa, you're in my facial boundary.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Wait a minute. I'm the healer here.
Stay with us. More vibrant living. And you. Your life, precious, and joy. Stay with us. I'm Glenn Brooks.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me.
everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hello, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, Vibrant Living Challenge. So as we just heard Jen Rowe talk about the practices of Red Hat Qigong, eye contact. Yeah, I used to run a group. The first group that I ran was a group at Stony Brook University. It was called the Feeling Great Group. And I worked with students. And I was going into New York, and I was doing gazing at something called the Eureka Institute. And I never, of course, gazing in our culture is it's not something we learn. As a matter of fact, great awkwardness and uneasiness for most people when they gaze. And gazing isn't staring. It's making contact in a way that opens your, it opens you. It changes your nervous system. And your nervous system is really how you begin to trust and relate to life. It changes you, right? You know, a lot of people's nervous systems are very sympathetic. They're an emergency response. And every so often they stop. But there's another way to live where it's more parasympathetic, which really gets into the world of dogs and the dog mystic. So I was teaching this course. I was teaching an ongoing course. And what I was noticing with people was when they would gaze, it would just totally transform them. And they would tell me things like, you know, they weren't doing drugs before their tests, and their breath was deepening. And when I had a significant life crisis, that's what happened. I began to I started to practice gazing, and then I was having nights where my imagery was changing, because imagery is a sure sign that you're able to allow a new life in. And we have relational imagery. You can invite this in. So part of the challenge of the Vibrant Living Challenge is actually, you know, is dissolving these states, you know, these states, these disconnected, discongruent states that we go through. You know, this stuff is hard to put into words. So what I say to people is, and we do silent practice. So silent practice is just the ability to notice what's impacting us at a deeper level, and particularly in group, right? And when you're working with a group together. And I want to just quote Mario Andretti, because I love this happened unexpectedly during a series that I did on the high performance mind. And so what Mario Andretti said to me, one of the world's greatest race car drivers, he said to me, he had this great nonlinear line. He says, you know, Glenn, he goes, this all happened to me. And that was how we became this Harwell's greatest race car drivers. He says, because I didn't put my ducks in a row and I didn't follow them. So what would happen through the years, people would say like that to me. And I said, would you say that again? And he goes, yeah. I was encouraged to play and discover. I wasn't discouraged to close my focus and cause undue strain. So I want you, so if you think about this for a second. So close my focus and cause undue strain. That's pretty much the school system. Close my focus, and now there are some beautiful exceptions. And when John Gatto came in my life, he wrote a book called Dumbing Us Down. He opened up my world in a way I never had before. I never met an educator who actually could decode the learning system in children. Significant influence. You listen to the Vibrant Living Network, and Jesse, Sophia. I missed the other word, Jesse. It's Jesse, Sophia, mm-hmm. McGuire.
Una.
Okay, thank you. Una. Yeah, Una. Okay, cool. So let's have Sherry, let's have you step in. Jen, stay with us too. Lisa, you're right there. Let's open up the dialogue. Please share. But Sherry, I wanted to say that, so we're living right now in this brain plasticity. The last 5 years has been a real time of brain plasticity. The brain plasticity of the eye, the brain plasticity of the whole nervous system. And by the way, the brain plasticity of growing young. Because guess what? So I want you guys, I mean, here's the thing. Why do we grow old? Anybody? And let's go on the panel. Why do we grow young? Why do we grow old? Let's do a round on this. Sherry, go ahead. Why do we grow old? Why do we grow young? Anything.
Well, I mean, I think that too many people are focusing on the number and like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I'm turning this age and I can't believe it. And, you know, don't stress it. Don't stress it and just be grateful that you're alive and you're healthy and you're here to live another day. I mean, you know, your birthday should be looked at as your first birthday instead of birthday, you know, and, yeah. You know, it should be celebrated no matter what. So, I mean, I think that people too focus too much on the number instead of just how they're feeling or just get out there and do stuff to make yourself feel better, you know?
Well, as a dog mystic, you must say that dogs, you know, they lower our blood pressure. They put us into a more parasympathetic state. It means our system actually rests. Pretty profound medicine you're dealing with. Okay, let's go to Lisa. Lisa hasn't said much. So what do you do to grow young every day? So what's your take on growing young and growing old?
I believe that everybody should be eternally young, no matter what the calendar or how many revolutions around the sun. And the most important thing to do is play. Never lose your sense of wonder and your sense of play. And don't take yourself too seriously. I think that's part of it. And actually, it's my partner's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were going to go out and celebrate like adults, which is not
that's
like
beautiful.
Adults.
That's beautiful.
Go play.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so thank you. I will pass on the birthday celebration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Salutations.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You know, I want to say, you guys, as much as I live in this world, this vibrant world, every time I speak with Sherry and she asks me a personal question or she asks me the next question that represents intimacy, I'm always delighted and so grateful that you do that. And it just, like, you'll ask me a simple question. You'll ask about Donna or you'll ask something in my life, and I realize, oh, I haven't even asked myself that question. Thank you. It's an inquiry. Like, I want to tell you. And you always say it the way I'm so happy you do, and then you're actually listening. So deep gratitude for you for asking me that question. That told me to stop and explore my soul. Otherwise, you know, I don't really like living like a zombie. That's why we do Vibrant Living. It's kind of a zombie-free zone. So thank you for reminding me of the vibrancy. All right. Jen Rowe. Thank you.
I feel like it's all a perception, you know, a way that we think. There's so much linear thinking about growing old and that, you know, oh gosh, I'm 70. That means it's almost over. You know, I've got to retire and I'm going to, you know, people just associate, you know, growing old with things breaking down and things not going well. And it's a lot of negativity around growing old. And it's about like shifting that way of thinking and really being in the moment and realizing that, you know, it's kind of what Lisa was saying, that there's this awe and there's this wonderment about the present, you know, being in the presence of this world. And it's very opening as we, you know, go through this path. If we want to like tap into that light, I feel like once you do that, then it brings up this like childlike wonder and, you know, this happiness and joy that's inside, which really reverses a lot of what that conception is around getting old, you know. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got my next question. This is good. Thank you. Thank you. I got my next question.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse, you cracked me up this morning. Could I share something you said to me? It was just incredibly funny to me. Right, is that okay? I'm putting you on the spot again, but you know, you'll love me later for this.
No,
you were sharing,
good at
I was
that.
Sharing, I'm good at that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do this in the most beloved, honoring way, and I totally related to what you said. I was like, I said to Jesse, you got to come to the United States. We got to hang out, climb the mountains, and, you know, there's something that when vibrant living people come together, it's really a one-of-a-kind thing. So I had forgotten Jesse as a one-year-old. And so what did you say to me about the guy sitting next to you on the plane? You remember what you said when you took the long, the 12-hour flight?
Yeah. Well, it was a lady.
She
looked like she wanted to die, I said, but that's quite extreme, isn't it? But yeah, she didn't look too happy.
I thought you said her face reflected, please kill me.
Yeah.
Cracked me up. Cracked me up. You know, here's the thing. I want to ask you the next question. So I just got kicked out of something recently. It was pretty much, we don't want you to come here anymore. And it does remind me a little bit of the Groucho Marx, any club that would have me as a member, I don't want to be part of. But so I went through a week of like taking this personally, and I realized, I wrote a chapter in my book, by the way, called They Run for the Hills, which is about people who reject me upon inspection, you know. So here's the thing about life energy and growing young is that, listen, as I said to you earlier, there's our conformed self and our live selves. And some people, it just really challenges them too much. If you're very alive, it just challenges them. And what got me about this group of people that said, you're not welcome here anymore, it was kind of like one of their ethical codes is kind of like all-inclusiveness. And I thought, this is so interesting. So one of my pet peeves in life is people who, you know, their learning style and their brain style is such that even if they think intellectually they promote one thing, it's really hard. It's really hard to welcome everybody. So I said to them about their organization, I think your new sign should read, everybody welcome except Glenn Brooks. That would be honest. Do something honest. And our round of growing young, I want to ask you guys from this vibrant place, when you think right now, how many people really, really get you? Like in your life, would it be 1, 100? It happens frequently in the day. How many people really get you when you see them? You feel like soul recognition. Your step lightens. Who gets you? How many people? Maybe it's just a scanning. When I say who gets you? Who gets you, Jen?
I knew you were going to put me first. I don't know. Like when I the first number that comes to my mind is like 15.
That's great.
You know,
get me the name and numbers. That's great. They may not like me though.
You know, an assortment of very close friends. Yeah. You know, some are, you know, people that I've met through my journey. Some are clients. You know, but yeah, it's really interesting when you really sit with that and be like, okay.
Yeah.
I am a different one. I am a bit unique.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
But
we all are. That's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I'm just gonna
maybe 15. I might even be pushing it with 15. That number.
Yeah. No, I said to this woman a while ago, I said, she lied about something, and I said, you know, I said I was waiting for you to come up with some kind of lie. You just did. I want to say to you it's strong, and I wouldn't like me if I believed that lie, but you communicated it, and thank you. Thank you, because I felt this from you anyway. So the question is about this getting thing. So the Vibrant Living Challenge in my life has been the challenge, and the particularly one I love the most is actually when I have this journey with someone who we didn't get each other, and now we do. So that's right. A new holy ground. So here we are with Sherry. I want you guys to help me. I told Sherry Marquez, our dog mystic, that today we're going to help write up this seminar because I hear through another team member that we're going to find a company to back Sherry's seminars. It's going to be a company that loves her work, loves the message of the dog mystic. So I want to come up with the three things today that you guys totally love that we're going to cover in the dog mystic seminar or being in deep tune with your dog. Being a deep tune with your dog. I'll start off with number one. Or Sherry, why don't you start off with number one? Go ahead. What's the number one thing? So when people come to your seminar, the number one thing you want them to experience or the thing that you feel is most resonant, that when they leave, they begin to have this in their bones and soul, what would be the number one thing? That's a big question, I guess. You can take several rounds, by the way.
Well, the most important thing is just teaching or just making people aware of how to be more deeply in tune with your dog and just create an even better, longer lasting love and bond with your dog. So
that's number one.
That's number one.
The experience of being in deep tune with your dog in a way you may never heard about experience. So you want everybody to come with a beginner's mind and be open to have this relationship of deep tuneness with the dog. Okay, number one. All right, let's come up with – and I have an idea. Let me just want to – I lost my words today. I'll turn it to the Vibrant Living team, and I'll keep you guys posted of what clubs I'm no longer welcome to. But I want to say what's more relevant to this is the clubs that I'm so welcome to. Who said it to me? Well, God, someone took me aside once and just said, you know, you're so welcome. It was like really, truly being sincerely welcoming to people is so profound. All right. Lisa, what's number two? Number one is totally being in tune with your dog. That's the attribute. That's the essence of the seminar. No matter what's going to – you're going to have another level of instinctness, intuitiveness, wonder. What's number two in the seminar by the dog mystic, Sherry Marquez? What's the number two part of the seminar?
Actually, this week I had an opportunity, and it has to do with gratitude. And I'll tell you, I had to go to the vet, and it was a very personal experience. One of my animals needed surgery this week, and we actually were able to avoid surgery. But, you know, in sitting in the waiting room watching people bring their dogs in,
yes,
you know, whether it was for surgery or chemo or whatever, there's mm-hmm. such a special bond that you see between the owner and the pet. There's a trust, there's a connection, there's a heartfelt. And I have not had the pleasure of attending one of Sherry's seminars yet, but I mm-hmm. am knowing deep in my heart that that's what people feel, that it's almost like sitting in that, you know, that with when faced with the thought of, you know, possibly losing a pet or, you know, losing your dog or even, you know, worrying about it as you would a child, that there's that deep connection and just really being in gratitude. And I know that a lot of the exercises that Sherry have given us about being mindful and whatnot allows us to just sort of drop into the heart and be in that space. And it was a really great reminder for me. So I would say, you know, in gratitude for that connection. That would be number two.
Beautiful. So gratitude and the connection, or trust, experience of trust. Jen, what would you say? And then we'll go to Miss Jessie Sophia, that I'm still gawking and digging the new wonderful name. Thank you for that, Jessie, that opportunity. You know, Americans have two names and they repeat it to each other. I love the bigness of your name. I love the bigness of you. Jen, what's number three at this seminar?
Let's see. To learn how to fully accept your dog, and for your dog to learn how to fully accept you.
That's great.
And I think, and on a side note, I feel like Gus is one of the people, or see, I call him a person. I always tell him, no, it's time to be a dog. That he fully knows who I am at soul level. So, anyway.
Awesome.
Sherry, say something. What's your how's the panel doing this morning on the Dog Mystic seminar? They're helping you bring
I love
this
it.
Seminar.
I mean,
that,
you know,
yeah?
the best thing is all the different exercises that that I'm going to leave you with, you know, and different exercises to create that everlasting bond and really be in tune with your dog and with the personalities and the their habits, good or bad, that, you know, it's just accepting them for every single beautiful cell in their bodies. So I love it. Thank
so
you.
we're looking at you know, companies that see this and they want to be a part of it. They want this and part of this message is some practical things, you know, like when to get a dog if you choose the path of a breeder. And also, if you choose, you know, on the smorgasbord of when to vaccinate, like, you're doing things that really, you're paying attention to what matters. Just my friend, Tom Monty yesterday, a good friend of mine. He's written, I don't know, God knows, 20 books on natural health. He was on the way to Washington, D.C. I guess it's either started yesterday or today, which is this huge march, and about the massive number we're getting of vaccinations. Let me ask you guys. Do you really buy into that we need that many vaccinations and that this stuff is, it's like there's no byproducts and co-chemicals or co-metals that are in this? It's quite something else. So, I mean,
no,
I'm always, Don't ask. So you brought up that concern. So also it's going to be nutrition. It's going to be in syncness. And it's also going to be the ability to, your dog's going to change your brain and change your life and change your respiration. That's kind of a deeper, I mean, I think what it is, I think the beautiful thing, Lisa, I think you hit it on the nail. A lot of this is so intrinsic in the relationship. It's almost like people, I don't want to say they take it for granted because they don't, but it's so there that it's, and that's what the seminar is about. It's really about the experience and deepening it. And I want to invite everybody to become, if you will, a dog mystic, to begin to learn that the mystical relationship you have with your dog is inherent in life and people, and learning how to let go of, let me ask you a question, Sherry. You think people forgive their dogs quicker than their people?
Yes. I think that people hold more of a grudge towards people than they do with their dogs, and they're easier to forgive their dogs because of either the puppy dog eyes or, you know, something that the dog is doing that, like, you know, brings a smile to their face. So, you know, and people unfortunately have the verbal vomit. So, you know, it's the in the heated situation, the verbal vomit just gets in the way, and then the resentment
right,
builds,
you know,
and it's so hard to forgive. So, I mean, you know, dogs are so much easier.
All right. Okay. All right. What you can learn from your dog about forgiveness. Okay. Jesse Sophia Wonderland, you're one of the greatest idea generators. What's something in this seminar, Jesse, that we want to put in, because, you know, we know Sherry's all about being the dog mystic and helping people get in touch with the practical, intuitive levels of being in deep tune and going past all the suppressive, I want to say somewhat horrible things that are in the dog world into this other world of harmony and tuneness. What's something you like? And by the way, are you a dog person? I've never asked you that. I'm putting you on the dog spot here.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I would certainly, you know, from a personal perspective, like to hear about how to connect with a dog that's passed away, because I think that's such such a sad thing for so many people when their dog passes away. And it'd be great to have exercises about how to connect with a dog and heal those wounds, you know? Because I know lots of people who
like
dog
that.
People, but
I like it too a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you stuck in the mystical energy with that one, Sherry. Say something about that one. Whoa, Jesse
like
came up with it. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That is a really, really good idea. Just to, you know, go through the grieving process of losing your dog, but then being to, like, just remembering all the fun that you had and all the laughters and all the amazing qualities of your dog, just to be, to feel that gratitude. And to know that they're always watching over you, over us. Mm-hmm. They're always there. There are angels watching over, as well as our guardian angels. So it's beautiful. But I like that.
I like that too. Mm-hmm. I was actually, believe it or not, there was a New York Times bestseller on that very topic. I put it in the trunk of my car. It was a book on that very topic. Like, are your dogs? What's happening with your dog when they leave? What's going on? It was a New York Times bestseller. So Jesse, you hit it on the dog nose there, the dog snout.
Well, I mean, my dog Chaos. I unfortunately had to put him down early, like, you know, when he was about 8 years old, because he had a bulging disc in his back that I didn't know about, and then it ruptured. So he in 24 hours he went paralyzed with his back leg. So in regards to, you know, me making the choice, because it was a choice of dignity. You know, he lost his dignity and he was totally confused as to why he couldn't move. And, you know, 75 pounds of amazing health. He was so healthy. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And
wow.
So he was an amazing pit bull and absolutely beautiful. And I trusted him with my son, you know, with the him being a baby and riding him like a horse and everything.
Wow.
So I mean, like,
that's great.
In regards to what, like, the hard part of having to euthanize him, I made the right decision because, you know, when he passed, I mean, everybody has their own thoughts, but I mean, like, you know, in my mind, the Rainbow Ridge, it really does, it's there. So, I mean, just to know that he passed over the Rainbow Ridge and he was running and playing and no pain and oh, he'll always watch over us. I mean, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing, you know?
I wanted to say to you, I'm going to get everybody's website out right now. Everybody's website. So it is vibrantlivingnetwork.com, vibrantlivingnetwork.com. Sherry, go ahead. Give out your website.
Smartpawsdogtraining.com. Smartpawsdogtraining.com.
Lisa, go ahead. Then Jen, go really quick. Go ahead, Lisa.
OneWisdom.org.
OneWisdom.org. Jesse, go ahead. Jesse, my new Vibrant Living, amazing copywriter. Go ahead.
Okay.
And Jen, everyone's favorite red hat, Qigong.